Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on the GLC.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code. This is Gary Gray, the GLC. You can call me at 646-727-3649. Let me say my condolences to the Manera family in Tennessee and Mississippi, and the Jackson family in North Texas, California, and Gary, Indiana. It's been a very heavy week for African American communities with the loss of a great quarterback from HBCU, a man that put black schools back on the map, a man that broke most HBCU records, and a man that guided his team to Super Bowl. Steve McNair will be missed. Also, the one and only King of Pop, who changed the music industry and changed the network. With the addition of black music. My first memory of Michael Joe Jackson was December 1970. I was in ninth grade. I was at home sick, and radio station WIBG Philadelphia played the song "I Want You Back" hour after hour. A million times that week while I was home. And I was thinking, who is this little 10-year-old with the big voice? It was Michael Joe Jackson. And the rest is history. It's interesting that the record station played the A-side of the record I'm going to get back where the African-Americans, they just played the flip side, the B-side, Who's Loving You, which became a great black anthem in 1970. Why do you think the black athletes were that work with Roger Glover Gold? And the future of gold was sponsored by Aubrey Ball. Come have a great day, Boeing, at 504 Glenville Avenue, Albany, California, 510-526-8818. That's 510-526-8818. And tell John, the DOC, that you also can check out the website at albanybowl.biz. Thank Roy Rogers, the CEO of BASN, and the family of BASN writers. Before my show is a weekend sports drive, we had a very interesting conversation this morning about black writers, pro and con. And it's a 2-hour show, a fast 2 hours of history. It's called Tony McLean. The fast 2 hours of weekend sports round. And also, Monday to Friday at 6 p.m. is the Master Plan at 6 p.m. Eastern Time with co-hosts Michael Lewis Ingram and Dwayne McLean. And under production in sports MCs with Michael Lewis Ingram at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I hope coming August, it'll be wall-to-wall BASN Network radio talk on BASN. Come to our website at www.blackathlete.net for a different look at sports. Last but not least, in our opinion, with Tuesday, Norm, and Southern Eagle, Mondays and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, it'll be back on the air again. It'll be good to hear Southern Eagle at Disney Dorm with their Pittsburgh view. And thank you for Southern Eagle for the voice of the opening of the DOC. I want to thank Mike Glenn, the rookie guard, the singer from Rome, Georgia, who last week came to visit the DOC. And it's really good to hear from somebody from Southern Illinois University, Carbondale. Okay, you can call me at the Great Upper Gold at 646-727-3649. One second, I'll be right back. And we'll have a guest from the 215.
Check out In Our Opinion with Southern Eagle and Steel City Storm. Each Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, dude, stop with the lectures, stop with the threats. Be a human being, let the guy go up there and say goodbye, for God's sake.
Rick Tocchet is another one. He pounded me probably about 4 or 5 times in my career. I never want to fight. Cam Neely, never want to fight.
And I knew what the power guy possessed. Oh, I could tear a man's ear off. Again, only in theory, because never done it yet.
How do you punish an Amish kid? Make him watch TV for 2 hours?
Sports talk. The way it was meant to be.
I'm back. This is Gary Gray, the Great Upper Gold of DLC. This last 2 weekends of ESPN, in the morning on Sunday morning, they've been doing a show called A Week in Review. Now, if it sounds familiar, it's the Great Upper Gold. I've done a week in review for the past, 3 years. So ESPN has copied this show on Sunday morning, a half hour. It's called A Week in Review. I wonder where they got the idea from. Let me say this. The men at BASN must be heavy on their minds because they changed their format. Anyway, that is the commentary. 212, you go here. This is my bicycle brother, Michael Lewis Ingram.
Yes, my brother. How you doing?
Good work. Michael Lewin.
I was cracking up listening to you about the week in review. You know they do this, bro. You know they do this, but that just shows you, you know, if they're gonna copy from quality and whatnot. So that says a lot about what you do. So
I mean, I've been doing this for 3 years, and what I do is baseball, basketball, I do my compartment. Mm-hmm. And ESPN had never done that before. I was watching last Sunday. I said, what is this?
Yeah, man. You know,
that's the way I do it.
That's part of this beast. You know, this is the things that they do. They're not original anymore because they can't afford to be original. Original means work. And you got to put in work, and that also means you got to do it right. And they're not about doing it right. They want to make sure. And, I know we've talked about this on several shows besides the Cove and the Bachelor Pad, that people just don't seem to take pride, and I'm talking about in our profession, in wanting to do the job right.
Well,
you know, you hit on something earlier when you were talking about how, you know, the last 2 weekends, the things that they do. They sit back and they're listening and they'll say, you know, yeah, you know, that's not a bad idea. But they won't put the full idea in application because they don't want to ask the proper questions. They don't want to get the full story. They'll take their view and they'll slant it. And, you know, that's kind of messed up.
Also, it goes beyond that because your show today dealt with Jason Whitlock, who is an African-American writer.
Mm-hmm.
I have read some of his stuff, and it's very, very surprising that people read his stuff because he seems to be way off base with some of his antics.
But see, you know, when somebody is doing that, they've got an endorsement to do that. You know, if you don't get to write that stuff unless you've got an editorial board that says, oh, yeah, put his stuff in there. You know, we know he'll get a rise out of the black community, or we know he'll piss off people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's the whole nature of this business. They're not worried about getting the story right, like you wrote in that piece earlier this week about not sexy enough. The stuff that's really relevant that people would read and they'll think, you know what, that's something I never thought of and something maybe I should think of, that'll be passed over because all they care about was whether or not some athlete was caught sniffing panties in somebody's bedroom, so they could put that out there.
And that has been the Madeira issue. You know, I don't care what Madeira does off the field. And the issue of Madeira going into the Hall of Fame, this man is a Hall of Fame candidate. I don't care what anybody says, because it's proven that he is a good quarterback. And to put that extramarital affair in the public like that is a crying shame.
It is, bro. But, you know, there's been a lot of dirt in the NFL and all the other pro leagues for that matter. And there have been several instances of things that have happened to, let's just say, stars. And it never comes out because they make sure it doesn't come out.
Yeah.
I think North Dallas 40 is one of my favorite sports movies because it brought that to light. You saw what happened.
Yeah.
Somebody
yeah.
got protected and somebody didn't because of what the bottom line was when it came down to dollars and cents as to who was worth more to the team's success. And that was the whole issue. They told that guy, yeah, you know, Elliot, we allowed you to catch those touchdowns. We allowed you to catch those passes. They knew who was taking the herb and stuff and smoking in the picture, but they weren't going to make an issue of it because they were going to protect him. So that's the issue here. There's an unfair advantage in that some of these people who are in this business, they're not looking to get the story right. When the story comes out and we know what the man did was wrong, we're going to write it and put the information out there. And, yes, when they do wrong, get into their ass for it. But when
back in the 60s and 70s, African Americans supported each other.
That's
I
right.
don't see that now with people like Jason Whitlock allowed to do what he's doing. And it's like the guy in your program.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Rush Limbaugh only in black, and
well,
that's
yeah.
a very dangerous person.
Well, see, the problem is that you know you can be critical and all of that, but there's got to be some teeth. In what your argument is and stuff. And I find too often too many of these columnists have too much power because they are willingly abusing their power by just saying any old thing without any smidgen of tangibility to it, and because of it, it makes it difficult for everybody to grasp the big picture. And I think that's where the problems really compound themselves, because you're not going to have people say, oh, yeah, well, we believe this guy because we got proof and stuff. No, they don't have proof. That's the problem.
Well, let's move on to that. I got three reports to do. One is a football report.
Alrighty.
What is the story about the Williams, the black Williams guard that the judge suspended the sentence and they'll be allowed to play until it goes to court? Also, Minnesota again with Brett Favre with the Vikings. They went down to look at him again. I get tired of this Brett Favre on again, off again, merry-go-round. Either play the game or get out.
Well, you know, with the regard to the Williams brothers, we talked about that actually earlier on the Weekend Sports Wrap. You know, the Williams brothers, it was a big move for them because I think now that they've got a chance to play, it might fairly address the possibilities of, you know, if somebody has got, you know, allergies or something like that where it really affects their overall health and not just some sort of advantage to play, it may help them to understand the difference between somebody who's taking steroids to, like, bulk up or stay in the league, or somebody who's taking it because it's in a nasal spray that they need so that they don't end up, you know, puking their guts out on a constant basis and because they're allergic to stuff that's either on the field or part of their makeup and doesn't allow them to be healthy and stuff. So,
but this is going to be a life-threatening situation.
Exactly. That's what I'm fearful of.
Yeah. And somebody out there, I used to have allergies when I was a kid. I used to be down for 2-3 weeks in August. And it was no fun because you had to take all these drugs.
Yep.
But not fun. And if you're not allowed to do that, you could be seriously in jeopardy trying to play a game which needs all your energy, and you're deprived of the drugs that make you well. I don't like that idea.
Well, that's the problem. See, if Gary Gray is a linebacker for the Vikings and he needs to take Claritin because of allergies, and they tell him finally that Claritin is on the ban list or something like that, and he has some sort of attack because of the allergy and stuff, then what do they do? You know, the NFL's been lucky that they haven't been put in this situation yet, but obviously it's something that very possibly could happen. So they're going to have to let this thing play out and maybe give doctors a little more and players a little more leeway in making sure that they understand that you can't jeopardize somebody's health because of the sake of your drug policy.
What about this Brett Favre issue? Is this going to go away, or is this going to continue until August, September?
Bro, this thing ain't going away. It's ironic because they were showing footage of Steve McNair's service, and I saw some footage of Ray Lewis speaking to the congregation, and Brett Favre, I believe, was in attendance there because they're both Mississippi boys. But the long and short of it is Goodell wants Favre in there. Ziggy Wolf wants Favre there. Everybody wants Favre there except the people that matter most, which is the quarterback, DeVaris Jackson, and those Viking fans, who some of who believe, as we do, that it's not going to help with Favre in there. They keep talking him up like he's 15 years younger than he was.
Yes.
Favre is a liability as he is right now. If he were to go in there, I would tell the Green Bay Packers, if they don't already know, to look at all the game films of the games that the Vikings played against him when he was a Packer quarterback, and they would see exactly how to beat him, because the Vikings did more damage to him than any of the other teams in conference. They know all his tendencies, and I think Green Bay would just come back and pound him in the little Viking meatballs if Favre was quarterback.
Also, I think it's about the record. We all know it's about the record, and might as well come clean and see again. With the white radio and sports leaders, they will not go with that issue. Well, we know what the issue really is. It's about gaining the record for consecutive games.
That's right.
A black player owned, by the way, is a Minnesota Viking.
Yeah, that's sad that Jim Marshall still can't get no love regarding his achievements, and this is somebody who should also be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But they've casually forgotten about him, and now if Favre gets to play this season, that will be the focus once they start playing. It won't even matter if Minnesota wins games because they know there'll be more butts in the seats. They know there'll be more people buying number four jerseys and Favre this and Favre that, and they'll talk it up, and the league will get a couple of TV games out of it. But really, it's not benefiting the Vikings at all. I think this is going to be a backward move for the Vikes, and I think they're going to really suffer and go backwards because of it. They'll make some money, but I don't think it'll help them in the long run.
Let's go on to basketball. There's a couple moves that are really interesting. Rajneesh Bowers is now playing with the Three Amigos in the Boston Celtics. And, you know, that makes the Eastern Conference really, really strong with Cleveland, Orlando, Boston, and Chicago. Rajneesh, I think, is a perfect fit for the Celtics because they need rebounding power. And it would help Kevin Garnett under the board.
I think you're right. You know, Rasheed Wallace, I think, was the prize out of everybody, and there's been a lot of movement. I think, from a fan standpoint, the NBA is going to be very watchable this coming season because of all the moves that have been made so far and how a lot of that shift has affected the East in terms of players going there. But Rasheed was the guy. You could take Rasheed and put him in any of the teams. You don't think that Dallas – or Houston or Orlando or San Antonio couldn't use him. You know, that's why San Antonio got McDice. You know, he's like a different version of Rasheed. But Rasheed does everything. He plays inside, outside, hits the boards. He can shoot the jump shot. He's a pressure player. I mean, Boston did all right with this. And if nobody else leaves, they've got a solid lineup. And Boston right now would have to be a scary co-favorite along with the Shaq, LeBron alignment in Cleveland. So it's going to be some good watching the basketball coming this season. I think the East is going to be the place to be.
Wednesday afternoon, like you said, they got the Spurs got Antonio McDice. And, you know, the Spurs are very interesting because they're always, every year, they're always in a race.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the only team where I know where a fan 10 or 15 years, they've been in the race every year. And that is a lot for upper management and the way they deal with players.
It's a smart front office, G. They seem to always know what's the one piece that they need. And everybody just sleeps on them because, you know, they just kind of go about their business and they're down there in that little part of Texas and they're really the only game in town. So people just kind of ignore them, but when you look at their lineup, they got Richard Jefferson, they got Antonio McDice, you know, they pick up DeJuan Blair, who was the power guy I really liked from the draft,
and
you know, Ginobili comes back, he's healthy. They're a very scary team right now, and I think out of all of the Texas teams between them and Houston with Ariza and Dallas getting Sean the Matrix Marion, San Antonio definitely is the better out of the three.
Yeah, well, I think you did it in trouble because without Yao Ming, I don't think you did it will even make the playoffs actually because there ain't nobody under the board.
Yeah, I know. Do you think that Mal's done? I mean, do you think Ming will come back? Because I'm not sure the degree of the foot.
I don't know because like, all big men except for Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal is the only one that has not been out that long.
Yeah.
And that shows how good Shaquille O'Neal keeps his health. Because all the big guards, all the big centers have always gone out.
Yep.
So, I want to move on to the hockey. The bicycle brothers here.
Yeah, indeedy.
I knew.
Well, some good stuff, brother. I know one deal that I saw, Marion Gaborik coming to New York City and the Rangers and stuff. Gaborik was injured a little while ago, but when he was playing with the Minnesota Wild, he was one of the best snipers in the league. So I think that's an interesting move for them. I like the fact that the Rangers didn't flinch on this. They knew they needed a scorer. Scott Gomez was gone. They had to go get somebody who could do the job, and getting Gaborik, I think, is going to be a good move for them.
Also, they got Andropov.
Yep, they picked up Andropov.
Yeah, and he's going to reunite with Kovalchuk, and that's going to be called the Russian line now.
Yeah, they're going to have some Russians in the house there and whatnot. And I think if they produce, they will generate a lot of fan electricity there. You know, you've got little Odessa in New York City, which is a strong, mostly Russian neighborhood and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fans, if they put the sweater on, they will jump for them anyway. I give Ranger fans that much. You know, they love their team, and they will come out for their team. If you got the sweater on, you know, you're on point with them and stuff, so.
I don't want to go. That's a good trade. I want to say what I was doing because they keep trading players at the right. What are they doing out there?
Ottawa's been puzzling me for years, G. I can't get it. You know, there's one dumb line. You know, Alfredson, Spezza, Danny Heatley, and now Danny Heatley
is gone.
So what did they do? Is Kovalev going to replace him? You know, even if he does, that's still one line. You know, you got to have at least two lines who score consistently to be a successful team. And Ottawa has been living and dying with this for a long time. I don't understand why, because it wasn't an issue of financing and stuff like that. They're the only team now there in the city with the CFL franchise going. So I don't understand why they haven't been more aggressive in getting talent.
What about the L.A. Kings got signed Ryan Smith from the Avalanche?
That's a nice pickup. I like Ryan Smith. Actually, I think Ryan Smith has been a shadow of himself since he left Edmonton because he really loved being an Edmonton Oiler. I mean, he's from the area and stuff, that he had a strong connection to that franchise. I don't think he's been the same since, but he is one of those guys who gives you a full 60 when he's on the ice. So I think for a team like Los Angeles with a lot of young talent, he's a good pickup. He will center these guys, and he will be a stabilizing force for them. I don't think they'll experience a lot of slumps with somebody like Ryan Smith playing for them.
One last thing for the hockey. What is Mikael Samuelson going from the Detroit Red Wings moving to the Vancouver Canucks? And Martin Avalak was released by the Chicago Blackhawks going to the Minnesota Wild.
Well, I like the Samuelson to the Canucks move a little bit more. Actually, what we didn't get to touch on was the Sedin twins in Vancouver and some possibility that the Toronto Maple Leafs tampered with them. You might have remembered back, I think, in 99 in that draft, the Sedin twins were drafted as a pair by the Vancouver Canucks. And their contract came up. Then there was a lot of finagling going on, and the short version of the story is, while they were over in Sweden and whatnot, there was a deal made to them. But it seems as if Toronto went out of their way to try to get them while the negotiations were going, or before the negotiations were going on. If I understand the league rules right, that's tampering. So I think Toronto might be in a little bit of trouble, depending on how hard Vancouver wants to go after them regarding the Sedin affair, because Brian Burke was the one who signed the Sedins, and he's working for the Maple Leafs now.
Well, speaking about Toronto is in deep trouble. I don't see this team. This is the only original six. Not been in the playoffs for the past 15 years. Now, it's going to take a big overhaul by general management to get this team in the playoffs. I don't understand that team in Toronto.
Well, Toronto's biggest problem for the last decade at least has been consistent goaltending and a management that seems to not have a clear vision regarding talent. When the Ray Emery stuff was going on in Ottawa, when everybody knew he was going out the door, you know,
yeah.
Toronto was the logical place for him to be. But the problem turned out to be a real issue because nobody liked Emery. They made all these stories up about how he had an attitude problem and all kinds of nonsense. And see, the hockey shows there, you know, are like our NFL shows here. Once they start on something, they don't let up. And the attitude on them was that they thought that Emory was a hot dog and that he disrespected the coach. And, you know, they came up with every excuse they could think of and whatnot to dog Emory out. So the word was out on Emory that even if he had wanted to go to Toronto, you know, the Maple Leafs never would have given him a fair shot. So he did the right thing by going over to Russia, where he proved, just like we all knew, that he was a top-flight hockey goalie. Meanwhile, Maple Leafs, they go with other people who Ray Back and I forget who the other kid was, but the long and short of it was their goaltending just flat-out sucked. And Matt Sundin, who had been there, their rock there for the longest amount of time, he even was tired of it. He's like, look, you guys got to get me out of here. You're not serious about winning. And he left. So now Toronto is left with a pretty much an empty cupboard. You can't have a Toronto franchise looking for help. That's like, as we would say, if we're talking about fairness in the franchises and stuff, you can't have a successful league without a successful New York franchise in the States. You need Toronto to be successful. They'll come to see the Maple Leafs, but that doesn't mean that the league will make money because the Maple Leafs aren't making money, and that's the problem.
You know, Toronto reminds me of the old New York Rangers of the 70s. Stadiums go out with the New York Rangers of the 70s.
Yep.
The Rangers would not spend any money on any player, and ended up they were last place for 2-3 years in a row. And people said, okay, we're not going to go to the game.
And they're not developing anybody either, G. That's the problem. There's no real young talent that's on the Maple Leaf roster that's like, yeah, you know, that's our kid. You know, they've either had to get somebody from somewhere else or their kids aren't ready yet. And either way you slice it, you're not going to be a successful franchise when your front office ain't in tune with the level of talent that's out there. Because other teams seem to be doing okay. They pick lower. The hockey drafts are styled similar to the football draft. But the point is, who's looking at these kids? Who decides who can skate and who can't, and who gives them the positions or the opportunities to succeed? Toronto's got a lot of questions to answer, bro, and I don't think they're going to answer them this season either.
Well, I think Toronto's going to go through a couple more years of mediocrity before they get to come out of the cellar.
Yeah,
and, the NHL needs to address that organization, because what can happen is they can lose their organization.
Yo, no, you're exactly right on that. And I'm going to have to step off in a couple, but before I go, because I heard your tribute to Michael Jackson right off the bat, I just wanted to share something with you that a colleague of mine was talking about. This young lady, she's from South Africa, and when the memorial service started, she was talking about how proud she was that Mandela had sent a telegram, recognizing Michael Jackson and all the work he had done and charity work and stuff like that there. And then she said something that really caught me off guard. She said, you know, I was really upset because I was waiting to hear the telegram from President Obama. And I was like, you know what? She's right. The president never said anything about Michael Jackson. I don't know why he didn't say anything, but he never said anything. And I thought it was kind of freaky that, you know, as everything came off, saying something that was public that would matter, like reading a telegram saying condoning or giving his condolences to the family, It didn't hit me because I was like, well, you would think he would have said something and made it a little more evident that he respected Michael Jackson's talent, especially since during his campaign he used Motown music. You know, he was playing Stevie Wonder's song, to get people interested in it.
Well, you know how it is. We got to go with the road. I hear what you're saying, but he got so much on his
No, I know brother got a lot on his plate. You know, I just felt that I was hoping that they would have read a telegram from him. I was told by somebody else that he did make statements, but the problem was I thought that he would have done that there. Like, as they were reading the telegram from Mandela, they would have read, a telegram from President Obama and stuff. But I digress.
I hope America leaves Steve McNair alone. I hope America leaves Michael Jackson alone and then let these guys rest in peace, because they're gone now.
That's right.
And we can't bring them back. We can't just let it go,
Yep, no doubt, brother.
I'm glad you come by the cove.
Always, brother.
I enjoy your day, and thank you for the report. And we can do it again next week.
You You got it, bro. Take care. Have a good weekend.
That's Michael Lewis in the room. Black Eyed Peas Sports Network. We were coming on an hour earlier with the Sports Rap Show. We have a caller 412 area code. 412 area code. You're on the air.
Gray man, don't talk hockey without your buddy Steel City Storm now.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
How you doing, man?
Okay, how you doing, Jay?
Good, man. Hey, I was listening to you, Michael, talk hockey. I love it. Love it, man. I'm ready for the season to start again.
Well, we got to wait about 3 more months, right?
Yep, couple months. But your beloved Steelers report July 31st, so we got to take it all back in. It's going to be good to have all the sports back playing here. I've missed it, man. I'm ready to go again.
I'm ready. I got your promotion on my show, so I hope you enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're back
on the air again.
Yes, 2 weeks. Hopefully 2 weeks I'm going to get it rolling again here. We had a little bit of a time off, but I think I'm going to jump back right in the saddle again, especially with all the hockey, football, and everything starting up again down the road. We got to get ready.
You're a Pittsburgh Penguins. What are they done to do to offseason? Can you tell me more about what they done to do?
Well, the Penguins have quietly done a very nice job, and I've talked to a few people on Blog Talk that are neutral, not really Penguin fans, and they feel the same way. The Penguins lost Scuderi to the Kings, and God bless Scuderi. He's been so underrated as a Penguin. He came up through the system, and he's done such a heck of a good job. You hate to lose him, but you know what? He took the payday, took care of himself and his family, and I hope he does great. We lost Gill. We weren't going to keep everybody, but you got Fedotenko back. You got Guerin back at a discount price, and Adams, who they picked up during free agency during the year. These guys were experienced role players, and they came at a lesser price. Fedotenko was the bigger sign. Then we picked up Rupp. You know who he is from the Devils.
Yeah.
They just got McKee at a lesser price for a one-year deal. If you notice what the Penguins are doing, the Flyers picked up Pronger. The Penguins are going to have the target on their back. They're the champions now.
Yeah.
And the way you get to the Penguins is you can get at Crosby a little bit if you get physical. That stuff works during the regular season, not necessarily during the playoffs, but it does work. And I think the Penguins beefed up nicely. I like what they've done.
As a question, why do the Philadelphia Flyers have four goaltenders now? What's going on in Philadelphia?
Well, you know what? And that's funny you brought that up because we were talking about that today. And I think that they need to, if they get that goalie situation straight now, Philadelphia's a good team, just like the Capitals.
Well, they got four goalies. You can't play with four goalies. I mean, come on.
No, I agree with you. They're going to have to make a decision because you already gave away the future. You gave up, in my opinion, way too much Pronger, but the move was a good move for the Flyers. You got to win now, and I think that's the move they made. But you're right. You're taking up money in a spot with four goalies. You only need two, you know.
But they have to
get that straightened out.
Well, I think Emery might be the lead goaltender because I'm happy with Niemaki. Niemaki is too inconsistent.
Right. Absolutely. But I think the East is going to be really strong this year again. And the Penguins, you know, to get back, they've gone 2 years in a row now to the final. It's all stacked against them to do it again, but I think they have the talent to definitely contend for it.
My New Jersey Devils.
Well, yeah, top to bottom, the Devils, you know, it starts with goaltending, and, you know, he's one of the best. The Capitals are, and like the Flyers, they're two teams that if they get the goaltending, they got a great team around it that they could be dangerous. The Rangers, you know, they're always going to be up there with the Devils just because of who's the goaltending. You know,
yeah. You
win championships with defense, and who's your best defender is the goalie.
also, you know, I'm very disappointed in San Jose Sharks because I thought it was going to be a Shark Penguin or a Shark Devil Stanley Cup final. And the Sharks just, I don't know what the deal is, but they cannot beat Anaheim Ducks. I mean, year after year, the Ducks come over here and abuse the death. What's up with Anaheim?
Well, you know what? Anaheim, when Hossa became a free agent again, boy, I, for whatever reason, I really thought Hossa was would be scooped up by either the two teams you just mentioned, San Jose or Anaheim. I think that would have been a really good fit. He's not bad in Chicago, but you know what Hossa's problem is. He's not good at being the guy.
When he was in
Detroit during the regular season, he wasn't the guy. But in the playoffs, when Datsyuk got hurt, I think he was expected to take more of a leading role, and he just doesn't do well in that spot.
Man, I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you're back on the air. Glad you're back. Get that show together, and trust me, I want you to come back to the Cove, and we can talk some more hockey.
Heck yeah, man! I love listening to you. Enjoy talking to you as always, and I'm gonna be hiding out in your chat. Listening to you the rest of the show, but I wanted to chime in and say hello, and I'll be back. Don't you worry.
All right, thank you, brother. Good
All
luck.
Right, you take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
You too, man. That was Disney Storm with Southern Eagle, and in our opinion, on Saturday the 8th, they get to call in, and they have a Pittsburgh angle. So let me go. The news of the week. Baseball being baseball again. It never seems to amaze me how this sport goes backwards every year. The manager of the All-Star game, Charlie Manuel, picked his whole outfield for the All-Star game. Now, you know, I, being a manager of All-Star game, you think you can get your pick of players? But what Charlie Manuel did was overboard, picking all of your team's players. Now, in 1970, this is one of the reasons why the Major League Baseball took the vote away from the fans, because in 71, 73, they put in all Dodgers and all Reds. And it's an All-Star game, not a Red-Dodger game, or not a Philadelphia Philly game. And why I bring it up is because Sandoval, who is a giant, should be going to the game not because of this Philadelphia picking three of their players. That has to change. Last night, Indians made AT&T Park. Jonathan Sanchez drew a no-hitter and a perfect game. He had a perfect game in the seventh inning against the San Diego Padres. Mr. Pitcher was sent down to the minor leagues and recalled again for Randy Johnson's injury this week. There's been no-hitter in Giants in 25 years. The last one was John Marabusco in 1976 and Ed Ilicki in 1935 against the New York Mets. No hitter. And last weekend, Mr. Woods won his own tournament, the AT&T Classic, and he performed his own interview. And it was kind of funny, but yeah, it was funny. Tiger interviewing Tiger. That was cute. Eugenie Yee win the James Bond Classic with a playoff round with Morgan Pressel last week. And her idol is Jae-Rae Park, who is also Korean. As the All-Star break, goes soon, the Giants will have Tim Lincecum and Matt Cain will be going to St. Louis. And like I said before, basically Facebook's overboard with this online voting. I think this needs to stop. They had two kids in the ballpark in Philadelphia who just sat there for 3 hours and voted for Victorino. Now, you know, I mean, come on. I mean, how far is it going to go? Anyway, I'm against voting in the All-Star game. And to me, the players need to vote. So that's my own opinion, but that's the way it should be. My pick as of July 11th, the Dodgers to win the West. And on that league, the Angels to win the West. The Phillies will beat the falling apart Mets. The Red Sox should win the East by thin margin over the Yankees. And, hey, the American League and that league, little division, you take your pick. Last Sunday, Roger Federer with the Devin Wimbledon. Now, this guy had surpassed Pete Sampras, and he's bound to get three or four more titles. It took four and a half hours and 90 minutes, about 30 games to win this tournament. One of the greatest matches I've seen in a while. Last weekend, which ESPN ignored, the Williams sisters won the double match, and Serena won the singles over sister Venus. Of course, ESPN ignored both of the sisters, which is typical. But Miss Serena has won 11 titles, and Venus has won 9. So, I mean, come on. Give the credit what credit is due here. So, that's my tennis report. Moving on. Have we looked at the hockey report ready? Last weekend, Major League Baseball broke out with a red baseball caps again for the 4th of July weekend. And you can buy the caps on MajorLeagueBaseball.com for $38. It's for a good cause for volunteers across the country. But you also need, what I would do if I was to buy the cap, is specify what volunteer group we want the money to go to. Let me take a break here.
Maybe you've already covered this, but about the voting for the All-Star game?
Yes, sir.
A travesty, man. What does any of this have to do with rewarding the athlete when you have a bunch of virtual cyber couch potatoes just clicking away endlessly to cast votes?
Well, basically baseball and ESPN and Fox Sports Network has concocted this voting machine, and I don't mind that. What I mind is when the manager of the team votes for three or four of his old players to get in the game. Now, to me, Sandoval, who's a giant, should be at the game, and not because they have four or five abilities. And come on now, it's an all-star game.
Right. Well, Sandoval may get in yet as a substitute.
No, he won't, because the Rogers already made up.
What do you think about this? I'm in the Bay Area, and the local Giants flagship station was encouraging people, to call in and vote by computer, and I guess that was happening for other players as well. But you had people, it became like a joke, voting in 80 times. One guy who did not have a life spent 8 hours on his computer voting for Sandoval.
And see, again, are you voting for the quality of the player, you're voting for the player's name? This is where I think Major Baseball has gone wrong with this voting. It's an all-star game of the talent of the players, not a popularity contest. And that's the wrong way to go.
Wasn't that, even before, I remember going to the games and the ushers would be handing out, the old ballots that you'd have to mark, but you could grab a fistful and vote for the home team.
Yes.
And, how would you have baseball all-stars selected?
Well, I would go back to the way it was back in the 30s and 40s. The players voted for the players. As the way it should be in the beginning. I don't mind the public voting for the players, but what happens is you have people in New York City or L.A. or Chicago who are stepping the ballot boxes. And not because the guy is good, because he lives in a big city.
Yeah. But baseball, interestingly, I believe, is the only all-star selection process that does involve the fans. I think it's just gotten out of hand, though.
The NBA is changing. They're gonna try this a couple years from now. I think it's a bad way to go because it's a popularity contest. It's not about skills.
Yeah. Hey, I want to throw another odd take on you here. Michael Jackson, as a dancer, do you see him as an athlete?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
Because it was interesting, at his funeral, Magic's there, Kobe's there.
Yeah.
In the local radio station in San Francisco, Ronnie Lott of the 49ers was talking about how when he met Michael one time that he was just thrilled.
Yeah.
And, it's just, with Michael's passing and everything we've heard, everything we've read, but notation, Michael as an athlete, as a dancer, what do you think?
I think he was one of the best dancers in the history of pop rock because he literally changed the old rock world. The video with Michael Jordan.
Uh-huh.
That video was very funny and very initiative. And Michael Jordan loved it. So Michael was an interesting character. Michael Jackson was a very interesting character.
Yeah, interesting. When you think back, I think the Thriller album Alone, or maybe it was Off the Wall, one of them, that album sold more than the Beatles combined.
Yeah. Well, that was number one for 37 weeks, and no album ever got 37 weeks.
Right.
So Michael broke. I think Michael also did something that nobody ever done either, is he changed MTV. Because MTV... back in 1980, what did he do? Was an all-white music station. And Michael kept knocking on the door saying, let me in, let me in, let me in. And finally, they had to hit. So it broke the mold with MTV.
Right, right.
So.
Yeah, and I was thinking, too, you know, I went to Disneyland at one point, and there was a ride down there. He was like Captain EO or something like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's, you know, very interesting, very controversial, very sad, tragic.
Yeah.
But also, you know, crossed over through many entertainment, and I was just thinking of him as a, you know, when I saw Magic and saw Kobe there, you know, we often don't think of dance as sports, but it is.
It is,
physical extreme exercise.
It is. It is. Why do you think after a concert they're all sweated out, man?
Right.
They're working.
Right.
So, it's a job, man.
Right.
All right, you going to come to the Cove next week?
I'll try to be there.
All right, thank you for calling. It says 008 Cove. All-star balloting. I want to get to the New York Mets in a minute here. The New York Mets are in serious trouble. They have lost 50 out of 20 games, and they can't field. And yesterday they traded Ryan Church for Brett Cone. And it's an even trade, but, you know, this organization needs to change its ways. What I mean is, you can't fire a manager that helped you stay in the race. And 2 years ago, they fired Willie Randolph. And it tells the world that you're not ready for prime time. And not the way that you fired Willie. It was the way that you released Willie Randolph. And this shows the nation that you are not a class organization. And you deserve what you're getting right now. So as closing, the New York Mets need to get their acting gear. And I hope you have a good weekend. A good week. And good night for the wherever goes. I'll see you next week. Michael, take it out of here.
Another day has gone. Just